Culture continually ranks as a top concern for CEOs today and is seen as the pendulum on which results swing.
So for those people who think that culture is a difficult thing to implement, it does require a lot of focus. But in the case of Southwest Airlines, they've kept it going for 48 years and through multiple leaders.
That's Ginger Hartage, CEO of Unstoppable Cultures and the former Senior Vice President of Culture at Southwest Airlines. Ginger continues to be a tireless ambassador of Southwest's world-famous culture and is recognized as an authority on building and sustaining strong, healthy organizations. With her new venture, she's now taking her decades of learning from Southwest to help others create and sustain cultures of enduring greatness.
So a lot of times, leaders may think, if I empower my employees, I might lose control. Well, we all know that's just the opposite.
I'm Meryl MacDonald, and my passion is helping people and organizations navigate the human struggle of change. I believe that when we relinquish control, we open up amazing new possibilities. This podcast, Let Go and Lead, is about what happens when we loosen the reins. In it, I speak with business leaders, academics, and creative thinkers to hear about their career and life journeys and gather what they've learned about change, transformation, and creativity along the way. And now, please join me in welcoming my good friend Ginger Hartage. Welcome, Ginger.
Hi, Meryl. It is a delight to be speaking with you and your audience today.
So tell me, you founded Unstoppable Cultures how long ago now?
That has been almost 2 years now. And it was a labor of love after my 25-year career at Southwest Airlines to be able to go and walk through more doors and share with more organizations about many of the lessons that I had learned at my time at Southwest and as well as with other organizations as well.
And what an incredible learnings you've had at Southwest. Obviously, you guys have been known as the culture like heroes, right? And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But what I'd love to ask you right now is about the mission and the vision of Unstoppable Cultures.
Yeah, well, we have this bold idea of reaching as many leaders as possible with the message that a healthy culture can take an organization to new heights. And we do that by sharing lessons from lots of organizations that are well known for their cultures and helping leaders make that connection between the mission of their organization and the individual contributions of their employees, because when that happens, magic happens. When you can really connect with what an employee does every day and how helping them see how they're making a difference and helping the organization move forward, making a difference in fellow employees' lives, making a difference in the customers' lives. We, all of us, want to have a job where we really feel like we make a difference. And cultures that truly empower their employees to make a difference are known for their cultures. And that's what we want to help bring to life through Unstoppable Cultures is more of those examples. So I guess in human resources terms, we might call it employee engagement. I like to think of it as something even bigger, employee fulfillment. Because if we really can help employees see how their work matters, regardless of what level they are in the organization, making that connection, that's what we want to do at Unstoppable Cultures.
Well, you certainly had a career at Southwest doing just that. And so in your 25 years there, what were some of the levers that you pulled to really create a culture?
Well, with any culture, it starts with clearly articulating your values and how are you laying out your values for the organization. And ours were unique at Southwest. I have to always credit our founder, Herb Kelleher, who recently passed away, and also Colleen Barrett, who is our president emeritus. And from the very beginning, they were very focused on putting employees first. If you focus first on your employees, they will take care of your customers. And if your customers keep coming back, your shareholders are going to be served. And with that emphasis, the airline did grow. It went from a fledgling airline to serving the most customers domestically of any airline with that simple philosophy. So for those people who think that culture is a difficult thing to implement, it does require a lot of focus. But in the case of Southwest Airlines, they've kept it going for 48 years and through multiple leaders. And I think that's something that all of us can take a lesson from, is how we can do that in our own organizations.
Yeah. And how did you embed the culture so that it wasn't dependent on any given leader?
Culture is everyone's job. And it certainly is in the job description of every leader. And so when I look at the CEO of Southwest Airlines, Gary Kelly, his focus every day is first on taking care of the employees. And again, following that same formula, never forgetting how important the customer is. But, you know, it's that philosophy. I'm not saying the customer isn't first, but if you start with your employees, they can put the customer first if you're thoroughly taking care of them. So Gary follows that philosophy. Gary Kelly, the CEO of Southwest, does today. And really focusing on the culture every day. If you were to look at his calendar, you would see how he really does put the culture of the organization first, because he intentionally blocks time every day to spend with employees, how much time he spends with other leaders in the organization. One of the tricks we could all take away as leaders, one of the things that he does since becoming CEO in 2004, and he does this every week at Southwest Airlines, he records a message to employees. And when we started doing this in 2004, you know, everybody had a flip phone. Well, now he has lots of ways of reaching employees, but he still records that message so employees can hear his voice. And he ends it, every one of those messages, with a shout out that reinforces the values, one of the values of Southwest Airlines. So he might be telling a story about something an employee has done the week prior and is holding that up as a model or an example of what any employee could do in the organization.
That's really terrific. When, as I think about it, wow, that's 15 years of consistency in doing that. And you think of that as an incredible system that he has in place. And one of the things I was thinking about are the many levers that one can pull in really trying to change or develop a culture. You know, you've got your values, you have the energy of the organization, the behaviors, various symbols, systems, the communications. What are the ones that you find to be most critical?
Well, you have a great list, Meryl. One of the things that we relied on heavily at Southwest was communication. And if culture and communication aren't linked, it's going to be very difficult to move either of those areas forward. So they have to be critically linked within the organization. So with communication, Gary Kelly set the tone by communicating often and frequently and frankly with employees. And that really set the tone for how other leaders in the organization needed to model that behavior. One of the things we did on the communication side was create a publication or a communication just for leaders. And it was called Read Before Lead. And you probably love that title, right? Right?
So, I do. You're right. Yeah. So what does it mean?
What it means is in the airline industry, very often pilots have something. It's called Read Before Fly. So pilots would be reading something literally before they would fly. And so we just took that and we called it Read Before Lead, as any leader would be a communication to them about something that might be changing in the organization or a new effort that we were putting forward. And it was really a tool for leaders. And again, it could be a symbol as well, a symbol of the importance of communication within the organization.
When you think about leaders who are really great at leading the culture of their organization, what attributes do you think they have in common?
The leaders that really do it well in terms of putting their culture first, and I've said this previously, but it's still the most important link, it's thinking first of your employees and how you're going to empower them. So a lot of times, leaders may think, if I empower my employees, I might lose control. Well, we all know that's just the opposite. And one of the companies that I think of that does that well, for example, is the CEO of SoulCycle. And she believes in something called freedom in a framework. And we really always practice that at Southwest, but we never called it that. But I encourage leaders to do practice freedom in a framework. And what that means is putting out the basic way that you would like a job to be carried out, but don't be too formulaic or you're going to miss some delightful surprises and how your employees deliver on their promise to the customer. So the example that many of you probably would be familiar with would be at Southwest Airlines, how the flight attendants are able to deliver the in-flight safety message. Well, that's dictated by the FAA, but at Southwest, the flight attendants put a twist on it so that you'll listen and put a little personality. They put more of their personality into it. The same thing is true at SoulCycle. That freedom in a framework allows those instructors to create their own playlist, to go about teaching the class with their own music in a way that allows them to show their personality, own it, and really act like owners. So as leaders, whatever we can do to help give that level of freedom to our employees and allow them to act like owners in our organizations, they can truly own whatever area of the company they might be responsible for.
You know, SoulCycle is a great example, and I actually wasn't that familiar with what they're doing, but it really struck me as you were talking that so often companies try to mandate a consistent customer experience, and yet what SoulCycle's doing is allowing an experience that's much more personal, and I would imagine people gravitate to certain instructors based on the music and their personality, et cetera.
Absolutely, and that's what best-in-class organizations are doing. I recently had an opportunity to stay at a Four Seasons, and I immediately noticed that there was not some of the rote messages that you might hear sometimes in customer service delivery. It was very personalized and it was just natural. It was a natural flow. And really, again, focusing on, in their case, the guest in the hotel. And how do we help our employees do that? Take that service down to that personal level, because Herb Keller always tried to teach us that the business of business is people. And as leaders, how do we continue to remember that every day to focus on that customer?
I love that. The business of business is people.
It is. It's that human interaction. And when it stops feeling that way, we've really lost that personal touch in our organizations.
You know, and so many people, I think if you said, what is business, they'd talk about finances.
Well, and that's an important part. And, and without that, if we're not taking care of that aspect, we're truly not taking care of the culture of our organizations as well. But it's not one versus the other. They have to be integrated. And that's one of the things we spend a lot of time on is educating employees about the business. Because if employees truly do understand what is going to make the business successful, they're able to act more like owners. So financial education is an important component of creating a strong culture so employees know how they can best serve the organization to make it financially successful as well. So employees at Southwest, for example, shared in profit sharing. And they were all part of sharing the profits. So they had a vested interest in making sure that those profits were maximized. So my story of that, when I first joined Southwest in 1990,
I knew I was in a different kind of organization from the oil and gas company that I had been in before. And so back in the day,
we had a break room that we shared with another department.
And there was a microwave. And so I realized I was using their microwave to warm up my soup, you know, and I was apologizing to the leader. I'm sorry, I'm using your microwave. I just haven't had time to go get one for my department yet. And he was like, no, don't do that. Continue to use ours because that's our profit sharing. He didn't want me to go spend needless money when we could share it together. So that's part of that mentality of what is your culture like?
And at Southwest, it was about keeping costs low so we could share that with our employees. And I think I recently read that in some of your material, Meryl. You were telling the story about Jeff Bezos, who went out and his first desk was a door. And he used a door instead of, that was his cheapest way to make a desk, put it on legs. And that philosophy of doing more with less oftentimes is very important to startup organizations. And gosh, how great if we could carry that on as our companies become billion-dollar companies. That philosophy of how can we do more with less?
That's terrific. And, you know, I think about as you tell the story of creating the culture at Southwest, what do you think is different for companies that have a culture now that they want to change?
So I would say if you're ready to change your culture, and obviously what is driving that? What is your employee survey telling you? What are you looking at? But as a leader, the leadership group has to start with what are they willing to change to be part of this cultural change as well. And definitely your six levers are a great starting point for any company to look at. You mentioned the values, energy, behavior, symbols, system, communication. What are those leaders looking at? One of the things that we did at Southwest to make sure we were consistent with that culture and delivering it, we literally had a best place to work team, and we involved the human resources, or we called it the people department, a technology, because today technology helps drive so many things that make the employee experience better. And different departments from diversity and inclusion to communication to culture. And as leaders, we work together to make sure that we truly were driving and bringing about a best place to work culture. So that's a tactic if companies aren't doing that, is making sure that certain functions such as human resources, communications, culture, technology, and certain leaders, training and development, are all working together to assure that consistent employee experience.
You had your best place to work committee. Was that against the Fortune Best Places to Work study, or did you have your own metrics?
We had our own metrics. So it wasn't directly tied to the Fortune's Best Place to Work. Obviously, that's a great place to start. But we really wanted to start with focusing on what some of our own metrics were. For example, one of the things we always looked at was voluntary turnover. So what were we doing to retain employees? And at Southwest, we had only 3% voluntary turnover. So when you're looking at 65,000 employees and only 3% voluntary turnover, you're doing a lot right in terms of taking care of those employees. So it really starts with, and you've heard me say this before, Meryl, but hiring tough so you can manage easy. That's actually the title of a book by a man named Mel Kleiman, but it's a great philosophy for looking at how you're going to look at hiring and bringing in employees. And what that means is really spending the necessary time to make sure you're bringing in the right people into your organization that are going to match your values. So at Southwest, the company would get close to 400,000 applications a year. And of that, the company only hired 2% of the people who applied to work. So that really does speak to that focus on hiring tough so you can manage easy, really spending a lot of time to make sure that the people you're bringing into the organization match the values, because it's pretty hard to teach someone different behavior when they're a fully formed adult. So looking at people who share the values of your organization before you hire them.
And if you do the screening, I would imagine it's against a variety of things. Is that right? You'd probably screen them against values and then their competencies and skill sets. And
absolutely. Those pilots do come with a 737 type rating. So absolutely. Skill and safety are very important in many of the jobs we hire. But we're also, in a pilot, in all of our employees, we're looking for the three values that we focused on at Southwest. And those were a warrior spirit, a servant's heart, and a fun-loving attitude. And those are very specific to Southwest Airlines. So I encourage organizations to be as specific as they possibly can about their values. Have as few as you possibly can, because if you have 10 values, your employees are likely not to remember them all. And if you really can focus on as few values as possible, and then go the step further and describe what it means to live those values, actually describe the behaviors that make up those values. So for example, warrior spirit, we wanted employees to know that, I mean, the airline business is a tough business. So you'd be, if you think about it, you're working, if you're loading the luggage, you're working in all kinds of weather conditions. It could be Phoenix in the summer or Baltimore in the winter. So it really took a warrior spirit, someone who's willing to persevere and work hard. So we described what those particular values, what the behaviors of those values were. So I encourage organizations to go that extra step, define your values, define the behaviors, what they look like, hold your employees accountable for living those behaviors, and weave it all the way through to your performance evaluation. So best-in-class organizations start with recruitment. They're using their values in recruitment. They take it all the way through the hiring process. They take it through onboarding. They take it through training. They take it through customer delivery and follow up at the very end with performance evaluation. It's woven through every aspect of the employee experience.
And you're now taking all this that you learned over the last 25 years. I know you've been out a lot. You give a lot of keynote speeches. You're talking to corporate groups and leadership conferences. And now you also have an Unstoppable Culture Fellowship. Can you tell me about some of the ways people could really tap into what you know and what you can share?
Yes, absolutely, Meryl. We started this last year, and it was such a success. We're doing it again this year. It's literally—
This is the fellowship you're talking about, right?
Right. Yeah. The Unstoppables Cultures Fellowship is a four-day interactive masterclass. It's limited to about 65 people. And what we really want to do is help develop effective strategies for either embellishing their culture, or in some cases, we had some new organizations who were trying to start it. And we want to help those organizations create a culture blueprint for wherever they are starting in their organization. And I'm thrilled that this year, Gagan McDonald is going to be working with us. So your firm, having them working with us at the fellowship is going to make such a difference and truly driving that culture blueprint throughout the organization. So who attends? It could be the CEO. We had several CEOs attend. It could be an established chief people officer. It could be a leader in the organization who's charged with culture and suddenly has no idea what they're supposed to do. So people come at all from all different levels of the organization. We have different experts from different aspects of culture, different types of organizations. We have Rourke Denver, who is a Navy SEAL commander and founder of an organization called Ever Onward. He is one of the presenters. David Salyers, who was an original Chick-fil-A marketing executive and a Chick-fil-A pioneer, another organization known for its great culture,
is one of the speakers. And we're also bringing in Erica Javelina, who is a Speaker of the House at Zappos. So it's a mixture of different types of organizations, startups, and established organizations as well.
And it seems like you have a mixture of people that are, some who are just learning, but also some who actually have a lot of experience and just want to get additional insight and inspiration.
Correct. And that the inspiration is definitely part of it, learning from others. And we also want to bring the practicality in. And that's one of the reasons we're working on the culture blueprint with Gagan. We want people to go home with something that will fit their organization and they can hit the ground running. So I'd love to offer something for your listeners, Meryl. If they want to know more about it, they can just go to unstoppableculturesfellowship.com/LGL for Let Go and Lead. LGL, and they'll receive a one-pager about the five lies about corporate culture, and we could also share with them more about the fellowship.
Oh, terrific. As we know, the title of this podcast is Let Go and Lead, so of course I have to ask you, what do you think leaders need to let go of the most?
Usually it's ego. Because leadership is a shared responsibility. And, you know, the best leaders know that they don't have all the answers. And they involve others and trusted subject matter experts and work together to create that organization, the organization of their dreams. But I think the leaders that we may have all observed at some point that were all about the leadership resting solely within themselves were the ones who had the most to lose. Because if a leader thinks, if I empower my employees, I might lose control. Yeah, you might. But there's so much more to be gained when we empower everyone in our organizations and let them lead with a personality that we actually hired them for.
That's a great reminder that it doesn't have to be lonely at the top.
That is true. That is so true, because we've all observed great leaders and they're the ones who pull in a great level of expertise and different leaders within the organization. That's one thing that we were always doing was in trying to allow that the decisions be made by the people closest to the work. And if we can all do that as leaders, how much more successful our organizations would be.
Well, thank you so much. That was Ginger Hartage, CEO of Unstoppable Cultures. Ginger, thanks for joining us.
Meryl, it's a pleasure always to be in your presence.
Ditto. I'm always energized after talking with Ginger. This conversation was no different. Ginger and I share a deep common belief that organizations must put employees first. If you do this, your employees will take care of your customers. And if your customers keep coming back, your shareholders will be served. As I reflected on our conversation, several additional best practices popped out at me. First, hire tough to manage easy. Best-in-class organizations start with recruitment. Use your values as the foundation for this process. Second, clearly articulate your values. This is essential in establishing culture. Be as specific as you can be and have as few as you can. Then describe the behaviors for each. I love Southwest's warrior spirit, servant heart, fun-loving attitude. Third, allow decisions to be made by the people closest to the work and pull in expertise from across the organization, no matter where it sits. Fourth, consider creating a best place to work team that's dedicated to enhancing your unique employee experience. Thanks again to Ginger Hartage for being with us. If you enjoyed our conversation, please subscribe to receive upcoming episodes automatically. Also, be sure to check out the discussion guides at letgoandlead.com. Thanks for joining us.